All right, folks, prepare to get a little mad, okay? Here's the story of Sherry Hunt. Country girl at heart. She wears plaid flannel shirts, likes to ride horses, listens to musicians like Marty Robbins, Buck Owens. She's also one of the highest-profile whistleblowers the banking industry has ever seen. Until earlier this year, Hunt was a vice president in Citigroup's mortgage unit, overseeing a team that was supposed to root out fraud and potentially bad investments. In early 2011, long after Citigroup took $45 billion in bailout money, though, to save it from all those toxic mortgage assets it had on its books, remember, Hunt discovered that Citigroup was continuing to sign off on bad mortgages and encouraging its monitors not to report them. Hunt sued Citigroup, who paid $158.3 million to the U.S. government to settle the case. More painful, perhaps, than the fine was that Citigroup also had to admit wrongdoing. Quote, "We take our quality assurance processes seriously and have proactively undertaken process improvements to ensure that they are as robust as possible," the company wrote in a press release. Bob Ivory is a projects and investigations reporter at Bloomberg News. He spoke with Sherry Hunt and wrote an expose on Citigroup, which went to print this morning in Bloomberg Markets magazine and is available online. We'll link to it on our website. Bob Ivory, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
All right. This is, first of all, astounding in the sense that, it's a repeat of the exact same mistakes of 2008. Let me get a legal question out of the way, though. Did Hunt sue under like the False Claims Act? So
yes.
She gets the big damages.
Yes, she sued under False Claims, and she gets $31 million out of the $158 million that Citigroup is paying the government.
So this is literally a fraud case against the U.S. government based on inappropriate taking of bailout money by Citigroup.
Well, this is what Citigroup did was they guaranteed mortgages for Federal Housing Administration insurance that didn't qualify. So they were basically misrepresenting the quality of loans to the U.S. government. The U.S. government then insured the loans thinking that they were up to snuff, and then they turned out to be defective. So the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, did pay out claims on some of these mortgages that went bad.
So this is Citigroup once again putting the U.S. government and the taxpayers literally on the hook for mortgages it knew were substandard.
One of the ironies, John, is that Citigroup almost bit the dust in 2008, mostly because of bad mortgages. And so since 2008, they've still been buying and selling bad mortgages, and the lessons from the financial crisis don't seem to have been learned over there.
Now, let's just stipulate for the moment that we don't know if someone explicitly decided to not learn those lessons. Maybe there's some bureaucracy, some weakness within Citigroup's organization that allows it to continue doing something that seems so obviously stupid. Internally, what do you think is going on here based on your investigation?
Employees had an incentive for the reports of the quality of the loans to be high. So they wanted at least about a 5% rate of bad mortgages. That was what was acceptable. Instead of fixing the mortgages that they found to be defective, they just changed the ratings of them. So the financial incentive, they got their bonuses all the way up to the CEO of the Citi Mortgage Unit, got bonuses based on the quality of the reports, not on the quality of the mortgages. So it was not that it was a lot simpler to change the reports than it was to fix the mortgages.
Now, presiding over all of this, of course, is CEO Vikram Pandit, who was handed by his shareholders a no for a $15 million pay package at a recent shareholders meeting. It's not binding. Mm-hmm. But could some of that shareholder outrage be related to this, or would this be on top of pre-existing shareholder outrage?
Vikram Pandit became CEO in December of 2007. Since then, the Citigroup stock has gone down 92%. Now, we could blame
That'll get your shareholders pretty mad.
That will. I mean, yeah. We could blame him for that, perhaps. I don't know. Other banks have done better. Certainly, the stock market as a whole has done a heck of a lot better. But I think that probably had a lot to do with it, though. 92% is not very good.
Right. And in terms of a judgment of whether you're managing a tight ship in terms of creating incentives to do mortgages that are completely wrong, you know, that's another question for Vikram Pandit. What is the corporate governance issue here? It's fine. Okay. They cough up $158 million. They they make an opaque sounding statement that says that they did wrong. But what we're really talking about here is a structural problem within the financial industry if we can't even oversee something that caused a disaster in 2008.
When the board of directors decided to give Vikram Pandit the $15 million, they gave a bunch of reasons why. And two of them that I picked out were, one was that he championed what was called responsible finance. This was the catchword of the new city. They were turning over a new leaf in 2010. And Vikram Pandit was supposed to be the champion of that.
You can't make this stuff up.
And the second thing was that he had cleaned up the U.S. mortgage unit. And this is why I call it an irony, because they announced this only 3 weeks after settling with the Department of Justice for misrepresenting mortgages to the U.S. government.
You call it irony? There's another word that begins with I. Insult, perhaps, to the intelligence of shareholders and stockholders. Tell us a little bit about Sherry Hunt.
Sherry Hunt is a hero, isn't she? I mean, we don't have many heroes in the financial sector anymore. She was a country girl. She grew up under modest circumstances. She got her first job because she needed a job, and a friend was working in mortgages in Alaska and was able to help Sherry get a job, and she worked her way up. She never went to college. She has a high school education. She was the mother of two young boys, and through just smarts, hard work, she worked her way up to Citigroup. She was hired as a VP there.
Part of the False Claims Act legal sort of history is Abraham Lincoln actually put it into place give an incentive for people to blow the whistle, knowing that there would be consequences, that they would have punitive action taken against them. Did Sherry Hunt talk to you about her sense that once she did this, once she blew the whistle, that she would be radioactive in this business and maybe not hireable?
She was petrified, and she had seen her boss step forward. His name was Richard Bowen, and he stepped forward at the end of 2007, and he was demoted, and he no longer works at Citigroup. So she, in spite of this, she said to me that she couldn't stand by and let this happen, that she couldn't sleep at night knowing that this was going on under her watch. And she endured great personal stress and not knowing if her career was over.
Four-letter word that begins with H, Hunt and hero. Sherry Hunt, I believe she is one this morning. It's all in Bob Ivery's story that you can find on Bloomberg Markets Magazine. It went live early this morning. Bob Ivery is projects and investigations reporter at Bloomberg News on the Citigroup payment to the U.S. government of $158.3 million to settle a case of continuing to back and approve toxic mortgages. Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.